On the focal point.
Time for our both sides of the story feature. We're talking about the latest quarterly labor force survey from Stats SA, which shows that South Africa's unemployment rate has not changed over the last 3 months. It still stands at 29.1%. We're asking, why is our unemployment situation not improving? Anne Bernstein joins us on the line, Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise. And we also talk to Clancy Pai, who is an economist at Nascence Advisory. I'm going to kick off with you, Ms. Bernstein. Both of you, actually, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome onto the Focal Point. Good afternoon to you.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you very, very much for availing your time to us, both of you. We truly appreciate it. Let's get right into the issues, Ms. Bernstein. When we look at South Africa's unemployment rate, it is unchanged at 29.1%. But we're hearing as well that when it comes to those who've become disillusioned in terms of looking for work, though, that figure has gone up as well. This is very, very concerning. What are the stumbling blocks to sorting out the unemployment situation in South Africa?
Look, the figures show that the situation is really terribly bad, and we have one of the deepest unemployment rates in the world. There are a number of issues that have got us into this terrible situation. We have very low growth, and that's the key cause of this, but we also have set up the rules in South Africa so that even if we do get more growth, we don't get sufficient jobs for each percentage of growth. So we don't have a labor-intensive economy, and we need to change some aspects of our labor market in order to do that. But the key issue is we have to stop avoiding the big reforms that are required in order to get much faster growth in the society.
We hear that the Center for Development and Enterprise say that the growing unemployment rate is what they call a job bloodbath. And it is really concerning when one considers the number of households that are taken care of when one adult in South Africa is working. How do we turn this around? I mean, the president spoke about today about companies investing in South Africa. Is that the answer?
Well, investment is part of growth, but we're not seeing sufficient results. There's too much talk and there's too much concentration on small initiatives. Obviously, we need more investment, and we have to make sure that South African investors and companies are seeing the right signals and conditions so that they can expand, they can tell their friends overseas that this is a good place in which to invest. But we have to, it's not just talk, we have to make some significant changes. We've got to deal with our fiscal crisis, which is now a holding back growth. We have to deal with electricity. Without reliable electricity generation, it's very hard to imagine serious growth taking place in the society. And then, as I said, we have to look at some labor market reforms. Of course, we have to also start fixing the quality of basic education for the vast majority of South Africans who get, through no fault of their own generally, a really terrible education. So we're not building a more and more skilled workforce. Can I add one other point?
Yes.
Which is that I think one of the important insights of our recent report, 10 million and rising unemployed people, is that if you're unemployed, you're doubly disadvantaged. Not only do you not have a job with all the consequences of that for you and your family, but your skills start to deteriorate. And if you are out of the labor market for a long time, as many of our unemployed people have been, then you don't get all the things employed people get. So just working in a basic job, you build up networks, you build up know-how, you learn new disciplines. And the unemployed are just getting further and further and further behind. So we have to, as I say, stop bemoaning the situation. We have to take some hard and politically challenging reforms, Otherwise, we're not going to get the growth and the job-rich growth that we desperately, desperately need.
Can you please elaborate more on these reforms to the labor market that you talk of?
Well, we basically, we have improved conditions for people who have a job in the formal sector, but this raises the barriers for employers to employ more people. We don't
encourage...
In what
way?
Well, we make it more expensive. So take my little organization. I don't have a permanent HR person. I don't know the laws backwards. We have to be extremely careful. We have to hire excellent lawyers. We have to hire seasoned HR specialists in order to help us, even if we're hiring somebody at the very bottom of our employment skills, sort of in the office. So we've made it very expensive for employers to take a risk on young, inexperienced people who are unskilled, and we have to change that. We also have a collective bargaining structure where you and I could be negotiating conditions and wages, and after we've made a deal that we think we can live with, we extend it to other people who weren't party to the negotiations. This particularly disadvantages new firms and small firms. So we're saying we've got to change this so we can open up a section of our economy for labor-intensive manufacturing, as they've had in Asia and many other countries with great success. And we have to make sure that the growth that we have becomes much more conducive to employers wanting to hire more and more labor. We subsidize capital in this country. We have to turn that around as well.
When we talk about giving young people a chance, aren't programs like the YES program aimed at doing exactly that, thus giving employers the opportunity to give young people the work experience that they so desperately need?
Look, we have over 6 million young people who are unemployed. The YES program at best has reached, I'm not quite sure, less than 40,000 people. That's great for those 40,000. The issue is scale. And scale is not achieved through, you know, special initiatives or a YES program. No, you've got to get an economy that is growing much faster and where you are just creating more and more and more sustainable jobs. And that's why we're talking about reforms and saying we should stop focusing exclusively on these special projects or initiatives.
Let's bring on board Kanti Pai, economist at Nascence Advisory. Thank you so much for joining us, Ntate Pai. Our previous guest, Anne Bernstein, the executive director at the Center for Development and Enterprise, talks about reforms with regards to the labor market and specifically looking at the hiring of more workers and opening up those particular doors. What are your thoughts on this, especially when it comes to the argument that's been raised that, considering South Africa's history, can we afford to go back to that exploitive situation between employer-employee?
Look, I mean, I have to respectfully disagree with Andy, because I think you only have to look in terms of, actually, I mean, as you say, we can't afford it because of our history, and I think some of the prevailing conditions that we've carried with us. But even without that, you can look at, you know, at different countries. There are countries that have, because we did not, the kind of laws that we've got, we did make them up ourselves. You know, we've learned from other countries, and I think you can go to any number of European countries in which you will find exactly the same stringent kind of labor relations, in which, you know, maybe with the exception of places like maybe the US, but you will find that actually you do have these kinds of situations where workers are very highly protected, but at the same time, you are finding that unemployment is actually quite low. So I suspect it is something different. But also, I think I like your question regarding about how we actually have spent time in actually skilling young people, and still they are facing the kind of problem that they're facing. But also, even further than that, you know that we have this system of labor brokers, in which actually, as many trade unions have complained, that labor brokers themselves, the people who work under that system, don't tend to have this sort of permanent job. It takes forever to fire you and all of that. but that actually what we need to do is something I think slightly different. I think firstly, one of the key problems we have is a discussion around first growth and then we will be able to create employment. This is problematic on two sides. The first one is that, of course, growth is important because it helps you attract investment. But once you've been able to attract that investment, you have to ask yourself, where are you attracting the investment? Which sectors is it going? And are those the kind of sectors which are appropriate, for example, for the type of labor market? So one would think, when we think about growth, do we actually think about growth on a sectoral basis or on a macro basis? And many people would say, for example, that if we think our opportunities are in agriculture, for example, are we creating the kind of investments in agriculture? So is investment coming to agriculture where we would say that that's labor absorptive? And many people, when they look at that, they say, look, give us opportunity to work with you in those sectors. So I would invest in agriculture if you put up the right kind of water infrastructure, for example, that I had in the storage capacity, all the kinds of things that I need to be there. It's very different because if you look at the manufacturing sector, many people will know that the manufacturing sector is growing. So it has not, as people say, it has over the past last 10 years actually gone backwards. It's just its size contribution has become less. But that's because actually the way the manufacturing sector has been working has changed. So how are we actually therefore preparing people to work in the manufacturing sector? What kind of training, what kind of investment, again, are we putting in that sector that has grown? Even if you say, for example, it's grown by 3% or so, it still has grown. So one of our problems is how we actually nuance the discussion around work and creating work for people and employment and how that actually works in the context of an economy which is as diversified as ours, which is changing, of course, in structure, and which is actually obviously part of a more globalized village and things that are changing. All these things are things that we have to look at. And I think for the longest time, we have not taken the opportunity to actually be a little bit more nuanced and also adapt our ways of thinking, our ways of research, and how we answer these questions, even when we think about skills. Because I think, you know, we've talked about skills mismatch, and then we train young people, and they are the most vulnerable, even though they are being trained in terms of this. So I think we need a much more deeper discussion around the issue, and that actually, as things change, we know that, I mean, I always say to people, if you think about the time around the 2 million jobs we lost during the global financial crisis, we lost that within a year. Because actually, it is not when employers are struggling to keep up employment, they are able to fire them. Where we've had a problem, I suspect, is where employers are in conflict with employees. And that's a different discussion altogether, and one that I suspect perhaps we need to think about, not relaxing the regulations, but finding a better way to say, how do we actually come to a regime in which, where there is an employer and an employee conflict, especially because we are so sensitive about especially racial issues, that we could actually find each other in a way that works, rather than to say, let's just relax. Because I think that is probably something that might lead us to a worse crisis than what we have.
Absolutely. And the issue of investing in entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, are we doing that in South Africa? We've got several agencies that have been set up to assist small businesses, not only to start up, but to grow. It looks like there's a very slow uptake there. There's lots of frustration around the SME sector, and they are then not creating jobs.
I think that the issue here is really true of what small businesses are operating around the same environment as large businesses, right? So if we say, for example, that the difficulty is that, you know, the demand in South Africa is low, people are not buying, you know, credit is slowed and all of these things, then it must be true also for small businesses because they also have the same kind of public and community. Yeah. But I think also what we have failed to do with small businesses, and you can try and speak to any number of small businesses, is the idea of markets. That finance is probably the last issue that we need to talk about, because once we have a market, so for example, if an entrepreneur says, I want to make chairs or furniture, and they have an order from a big company, say Discovery is building a new building, and they've ordered those chairs from that entrepreneur, they can access finance almost immediately because they know, the other person knows that the risk of lending them that money is very low because they've got an order that will be paid. But our problem is that sort of the kind of ideas and entrepreneurs that bring forward and the market that exists for them to be able to sell the product. And that's probably one of our biggest things. Okay. Again, one to say, how do we actually think about these things in a much more deeper, more nuanced way and strategically so that we actually can zoom into the problem in a better way and then be able to solve it. Because I agree with Anne, the problem is deepening. I mean, I heard you in your report, in your introduction, saying unemployment is staying unchanged. That's only the rate. But if we look at unemployment, the numbers between the last quarter and the previous quarter in terms of 2018, the problem has gotten worse. We have 500,000 more people out of work.
We're going to leave it there, unfortunately, Xhanti. We are completely out of time, but we thank you so, so much for joining us. Xhanti Pai is economist at Nascence Advisory, and Anne Bernstein, executive director at the Center for Development and Enterprise, also joining us on our both sides of the story, painting a very, very bleak picture with regards to the unemployment situation in South Africa. Here's